Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
James Keach,
who's the producer of the documentary Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, and he's also a board member of the Bright Focus Foundation in Clarksburg, Maryland. Hey, James, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jason.
All right. Now, before we get to the actual, you know, the actual documentary, remind us, you know, you're a board member of Bright Focus. Remind us what they do. I know they're in Clarksburg, Maryland, and, you know, they fund Alzheimer's and macular degeneration, glaucoma, all kinds of stuff. But just remind our listeners, you know, the work they do.
Well, what they do very important work because they're funding research for scientists to find the cures for Alzheimer's, macular degeneration, and glaucoma. And obviously in the era of COVID-19, we need our scientists to be at work solving the problems of our health. And it's a fantastic organization. They've already, I mean, I think, I'm not sure of my numbers, but I think just in the last few years, given $100 million to Alzheimer's research, which is something I'm very passionate about. So,
awesome. How did you get, you know, in contact with them? Do you have a local tie, or how did you become a board member?
Well, I started working with them when one of their senior vice presidents, Nancy Lynn, was interviewed for a film that I did called Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me. I produced and directed it for CNN. Todd was interviewing her about Alzheimer's, and she introduced me to Stacey Haller, who became big fans of that film, and then another film called Turning Point, which was a film that's coming out actually this summer about finding a cure for Alzheimer's. And so that's how I got involved with them, and find their organization to be just a tremendous, you know.
Awesome. And remind us, you mentioned the Glenn Campbell thing. I mean, that was, you know, Oscar nominated, you know, it was one of the biggest documentaries of the year. And that, you know, and it was sort of, you know, his twilight of his life, you know, with his condition. And then similarly doing something for Linda Ronstadt, because I know her career was cut short with this neurodegenerative disease as well. Why is that topic so, you know, important to you? It's becoming a bit of a through line for your docs.
Well, you know, Jason, I don't know that it's important to me. I think what happens is that as we age, as people get older, and the stars of my generation, you know, well, Glenn's older than I am. Linda was part of my generation, but the, you know, things happen. Stuff happens to all of us. And in Glenn's case, he wanted to tell the story of what Alzheimer's looked like up close and personal. He wasn't afraid of it. And I think he'd gone through certain parts of his life where, you know, he was hiding from himself and the truth of himself, you know, through his alcoholism and drug stuff. And, you know, he had a rough few years there. And when he got the Alzheimer's, he realized that this is an opportunity to make good on the spiritual side of his life. Certainly the artistic side of his life, he'd made good on the whole time. But and in Linda's case, well, when I was asked to do it, the focus was never to be on Parkinson's and isn't, you know, it was on her career. And it just so happened that she had a neurodegenerative disease called Parkinson's. And so it's not really a theme. It's just, it's happenstance, I guess.
Gotcha. All right. Well, either way, whether it's a theme or intentionally or not, it's, you know, they've been great movies. I appreciate you shining the light. So let's talk about this at-home movie night that the nonprofit's putting on. It's from June 4th through the 10th, and I assume it's something, you know, we're all quarantined, we can all virtually watch. Do you know what the deal, the fact that it's all, the 4th through the 10th, is it going to be multiple showings of the same movie, or what's the deal, do you know?
Yeah, it is. It's multiple showings of it, because the idea that all people can watch it at one time is probably difficult. So
gotcha.
We're going to give them the opportunity to see it, and you know, and so there'll be no excuse in not watching it.
tell us the idea of how that actually came about. So you know, the movie came out last year and you know, won the Critics' Choice Award, and I think it premiered at Tribeca. You know, it had a great acclaim. But talk about how you got in touch with Bright Focus and said, you know what, people are quarantined, let's show it virtually.
Actually, you know, it was their idea. They came to me and said, could we do this? And I said, sure, I think that would be great, you know. And so that's what's happening. They thought, instead of having a gala, you know, which I think a lot of these organizations, and I know that Bright Focus says they have one, well, I think last year was June 7th, so this is about the same time last year. It's pretty hard to have a gala when everybody's quarantined, so they thought, well, maybe we'll have a different way to reach out to the public and get support for the cause, and we'll do it through this movie. And I think it's a great idea, and it's a great opportunity for people to watch an inspirational woman.
Awesome. Now, I know in addition to the actual, you know, the meat of it, the actual documentary itself, aren't you doing an introduction, and there's some interviews with some, you know, scientists too?
Yes. Doing an introduction, and Stacey's going to be talking to a lot of the scientists that they fund. And I think this is also an opportunity for folks to become aware of these people, the scientists, and have a conversation, you know, so that they can see the minds behind the cures. And it's inspirational. It really is to talk to these folks. You know, a lot of times when I did a movie about, it's called The Turning Point, which I'd love to send to you if you want to see it. It's coming out in the summer. But it's about men and women working 30, 40 years to find a cure for Alzheimer's, and how 9 out of 10 times they come up empty. Imagine making a movie for 40 years. You work your life on this thing, and it never gets released. That's what a lot of these research scientists go through. And they have to show up to work every single day. And, you know, and failure is not an option. They don't feel like they're failing. They feel like not trying is failing, you know. But, you know, you learn from when it doesn't work. And so I find these guys so inspirational, you know. And, I mean, that's why we got people in space right now. And that's why we're going to find a cure for COVID-19, and hopefully, God willing, we'll find a cure for Alzheimer's and macular degeneration and glaucoma, or at least something to slow the progression down so that we can all enjoy our lives a little bit more without these maladies.
Agree entirely. All right, well, so we've talked a lot about, you know, the research in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all that. Let's talk about Ronstadt's career just as an artist. I mean, you said, you know, you kind of have been charting her music for, you know, throughout your lifetime. But, you know, what do you think makes her so special?
Well, first of all, I think she had one of the greatest, the most powerful voices of all time. I mean, she could sing anything, right? She could sing opera. She sang country. She sang rock. She sang folk. She sang the blues. She could sing anything. And I think what struck me, what I didn't know when I first started the project, was just how influential her parents and her family was. You know, she's half Mexican. And so she had to live with that her life, her whole life, and in the music business. And I don't think a lot of the people in the music business wanted her to focus on that. And when she finally got to, and her career, this is, you know, we've been watching Mrs. America, which is a show about the Equal Rights Amendment, and starring Cate Blanchett. And it's Linda Ronstadt is the complete personification of a complete liberated woman, in the sense that everybody told her, no, we don't want, you're not going to be a rock star. Yes. And she said, yes, I am. You're not going to sing opera. You're not going to do Broadway. Yes, I am. You're not going to sing the songs of your parent, of your father, Canciones de mi padre, which, by the way, is the largest selling non-English speaking, non-English singing album in history. You know, and they discouraged her, but somehow she was able to do it without being an angry protester. She just said, "This is, I'm making you money, and please allow me to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it." So, and then she'd do it, and then it would make money. So, for me, you know, it's her voice, but it's her voice also as a human being, that she set an example for generations of women, I think, to come, of her her individual drive to be herself, not to be what somebody else wants to make of her. So often in Hollywood, the studios, they make you into an image. They make you, especially in years gone by. It's not so much now, but I think it still is that way. You know, we don't want to see Vin Diesel doing Shakespeare, and you know, and maybe he'd be good at it. I don't know. He might be good playing Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, I think he would actually. You know, but the audience would go, no. We want to see him in a fast car, a muscle car. We want to see him beating somebody up. You know what I mean?
Right.
She defied that, and but not with belligerence. She defied it with a very interesting kind of persuasion. She went into the head of Sony Records, or Capitol Records, when she wanted to get out of her contract, and they said, no, we're not letting you out of contract. No, and she finally said, you know, you have all these great female stars. I think you can do well with them, and you can let me go do my thing somewhere else. And the guy was melted by her, and he said, okay, I'll make a deal. You go do your album over there, and then you got to come back and do one for me. And it was two of the biggest selling albums of all time for her. That's just the kind of lady she was and is.
That's awesome. And remind, if our listeners, if somehow they missed the doc, you know, remind them all the different other, you know, celebrity musicians that are interviewed as part of the documentary.
Oh, Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, Jackson Brown, Don Henley,
Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt, Sheryl Crow. Who else is in it? You know, you have David Geffen. You have all the heads of the record company.
Not to mention Linda.
Oh, yeah, there is that person, Linda Ronstadt. Yeah, and we just finished another short film with Jackson Brown and Linda called Linda and the Mockingbirds, where, you know, the fascinating thing about making the sound of my voice was that Linda wanted to do an interview for the film, but she said to me, James, I don't want to do it in San Francisco. I can't do it. I don't have time. What? But Linda, you got to be in the film. People have to know you're alive. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to Mexico with Jackson Brown and a group called Los Sensotles and 30 kids, and we're going to go down there and to where my grandfather came from in Bonamici, Mexico, and they're going to do our kids are going to sing and dance for the kids from that area. And so if you want to, you can bring your cameras and come down there with us, and I'll do an interview there with you. Uh-huh. So she got me to do two films, and it turned out to be a really great film. And going across the border with her, and it's a film about immigration, actually. But it's a musical, strangely enough. But anyway, that's
right.
So in the movie, when you see Sounds of My Voice, the interview that I did with her, I did there. But when she's at the end of the movie, I don't want to spoil it. So the audience, when a surprise happens, it was there that happened. You know.
Awesome. Yes, they'll have to tune in to see what that surprise is. Before we run, tell me, just from the filmmaking standpoint, what did Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman bring to it, you know, as directors? Because they've got Oscar-winning, you know, film docs in the past, but, you know, why do you think they were, you know, you produced this thing, why do you think they were, and you directed the Glenn Campbell thing, so you know about directing, too, so, but why do you think those two were the right men for the job?
Well, they actually optioned a book called Simple Dreams. And when CNN asked me to make the film, I looked up who had the rights to Simple Dreams, and it was Rob and Jeff. And they'd been trying to get the movie financed, their movie financed, and they couldn't do it. And I said, well, why don't we just partner up, you know, and the three of us will make the film together. They're terrific filmmakers. They really are. They're very, very good at what they do. So it was a good combination.
Awesome. Well, you've been generous with your time. Anything else, you know, you wanna say, or, you know, before we hop off here, about, you know, why people should tune in, whether they saw the movie when it came out last year, or maybe they've never seen it. You know, why should they tune in for this presentation?
Well, one of the interesting things for me is I make these films and I discover something, even if I've seen it 20, 30, 50, 100, I always see something new, you know, because for me, I mean, if you love film, I do. And, you know, I'm sure you know this. You don't always catch everything the first time around. And, you know, and I think this film itself, there's a lot to discover about Linda and to appreciate. And I think we see ourselves in it, especially if we've lived through those times. And even if we haven't, we discover a human being that is really an exceptional light on our planet right now. And we need a lot of those lights, to say the truth.
Awesome. Well, again, everybody, it's Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice is the documentary. It will be playing as part of Bright Focus Foundation's at-home movie night from June 4th through the 10th. So, James Keyes, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Jason. You take care, man.